Joining us now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, he is the one and only Jacob Westendorf, of course, Packer Central on SI, as well as Athlon Sports. What's going on, Mr. Westendorf?
It's good to be here, Sparky. It feels like just yesterday we were sitting outside of Buffalo Wild Wings at the draft talking Matthew Golden, and now Matthew Golden's here, camp's up and running, and I solemnly promise to never open a mock draft simulator until at least January. So I am more than happy to be able to say that.
I hadn't thought about doing one of those. I might do one of those when I get home tonight. Now I didn't even cross
you
my
can't
mind.
Can you name one draft prospect right now?
No, probably not. Not off the top of my head. No, probably not if you put me on the spot. But I'll tell you what, it's a good way to learn about some of the top drive prospects to when you're watching college football, you have an idea of what you're watching and who you're watching for. I think a lot of people could educate themselves a lot if they got into doing these mock drafts earlier on.
Yeah, they could. And the thing about doing them now, though, is like it changes so much between You know, Will Johnson was the number one overall pick. This time a year ago, he went 47th to Arizona. Obviously, a lot changed between now and draft day.
For sure. Yeah, he is Jacob Westendorf. Again, follow him on Twitter at Jacob Westendorf. All right, let's talk about Matthew Golden. I saw Malik Willis and him. I had a couple nice connections today. What did you make from what you saw? Again, we're in shells, right? We're not tackling anybody or anything like that. But what did you take away from watching Matthew Golden today at training camp?
Looks the part. I think that's about all you can ask for with your first round pick. And if you're playing in shells and shorts, is do they look the part? And he looks fast. He's getting his opportunities mostly with the twos. Malik Willis, like you mentioned, throwing him touchdown passes, but he did have some spots. The first team rep, they're in 12 personnel. He's out there with Jaden Reed. With Romeo Doubs, not with Jaden Reed. So that's something worth monitoring. When does he line up with the starting unit? And how and who is he with and all these different pairings. You know, the Packers, they have so many guys that have a bunch of different skill sets in that receiver room, and you just don't know how they're going to line up, how everything is going to shake out once it's go time. You know, Wilde had a great question today talking about, like, when the money's on the table, it's 3rd and 7, training camp, does that get you ready for, like, who those guys are going to be? And, like, I've always said in the past, I don't think you need, like, the number one receiver, which is a great talking point for – you know, guys like you and me during the offseason.
Right.
But realistically, on the football field, does it matter that much? I don't know. But I know on 3rd and 7, the money down goes to the money player, you know, and that's where it doesn't always work out that way. But for so many years, you know, the primary concept in Green Bay, 3rd and 7, they want to throw the ball to Devontae Adams.
Yep.
You know, I don't know who that guy is. Last year, I know, like, the game-winning drive against the Texans, it was Romeo Doubs. There were other times it was Dontavian Wicks. Other times it was Christian Watson. Sometimes it was Tucker Kraft, and that's the guy who I think at least early on you're going to see the Packers try and target early and often. But Golden, I've said this all offseason, he is the most talented receiver on the team, as evidenced by him being picked in the first round. And there isn't a receiver on this team, in my opinion, that has surefire earned themselves an opportunity to say, I am a starter. I am on the field. You cannot take me off of it for any reason. There isn't a guy like that on the team. So Golden's going to have his opportunities to make his place.
I agree with you on that. You know, the other part about this is you're saying looking the part as a first-round pick. Well, Jordan Morgan was a first-round pick too. Didn't see a ton of action last year, especially once he got hurt. That took care of that. Then you have Brian Gutekunst talking earlier today with the media and pretty much saying, hey, man, like, it didn't sound to me. I mean, I don't know how you took it. It sounded like to me, like, Rasheed Walker, he's his left tackle. And he's going to have to kind of take the job from him because he's the guy coming into this thing. We had Pete Doherty on yesterday from the Green Bay Press Gazette. He thinks there's a good chance that Morgan is going to be the swing guy and he's not even going to start for the Packers.
Yeah, I do think that's possible. It's kind of a champagne problem, to use a Joe Barryism, I suppose. Is that
we don't know
guys...
if Jordan Morgan is champagne. He might be bar house vodka for all we know. We have no idea at this point.
Yeah, but having a first-round pick that's really talented waiting in the wings, that's a good problem. Most teams' 6th offensive linemen look like me. Like, that's not – I'm exaggerating, obviously.
Why are you here talking to me for? You should
I don't
be
know.
Jack.
Yeah. If somebody wants to, I did play a little bit of offensive line. I'm about 15 pounds lighter than when I did that, so I don't know if that's good or not.
We can get you fat if we need to get you on the field for $1 million a year, right?
Yeah, I can eat some cheese curds.
Yeah, we can go.
Give me a Culver's trip.
Wendy's, man. Wendy's. You're having a Wendy's. Wendy's double sec. That's what you're having.
I'm more than happy to have a Baconator.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yes. And a Frosty Fusion and some fries. Yeah. Don't say that other thing on the air. No. Go ahead.
Give me a little bit of everything. I'm more than happy to do that. Yeah, but with Morgan, I don't know what their plan is when they took him. I think that their thought was kind of the Jordan Love of it all, where he's waiting in the wings. Last year, they kept insisting he was a tackle. Nothing we ever saw him line up at tackle. He played guard pretty much exclusively, and then he was dinged for most of the year at a shoulder injury. He did line up today with the ones at guard, but that's kind of a byproduct of Elton Jenkins not practicing. Make your conclusions as to why Elton Jenkins isn't practicing.
But Sean Ryan was at center then, which meant the guard position was open, and that's how Morgan got in there.
Yeah, and the reality of it, too, is that even if Morgan is the sixth guy, he's going to play. The offensive line is a notoriously not healthy position, and the Packers are in a better spot this year than they were. You know, their season ended a year ago in large part because Travis Glover and Kadeem Telford were absolute disasters.
It's true.
In their cameo, and that's I don't even necessarily blame those players for that. You're on the bench most of the year. You're primarily a tackle. And all of a sudden, bang, Jenkins gets hurt in the first couple snaps of the game. And they say, hey, by the way, you got to go in the game. And now you have to block Jalen Carter, who's on the other side of the line of scrimmage. And this just absolutely ferocious front that the Philadelphia Eagles had last year that they rode in large part on the way to a Super Bowl title. So Jordan Morgan is a guy who would have come in really handy in a situation like that a year ago. I don't know what their plan was when they drafted him. I would be surprised if he's not at least in the plans to be one of their starters in 2026 for sure. But, you know, that's another year from now. What's going to happen in that time frame?
Yeah, but the thing is, Jacob Westendorf, is that if they wanted Rasheed Walker, then why didn't they pay Rasheed Walker an extension and call it a day? They didn't pay Rasheed Walker because they don't want Rasheed Walker. They want Jordan Morgan to be the guy.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Walker, his career as a whole has just been so interesting. So he comes to the league, he's a seventh-round pick. He's not guaranteed a job at all when you're a seventh-round pick. Like, you're just as likely to get cut as you are to make the team. He makes the team, and his first season did not go well, just to say the very least. There were some whispers that, like, we all thought, like, Luke Butkus hated him. And to his credit, he got better from his first year to his second year, became the team's swing tackle, beat out Joe Schneiman, who – you know, that was a job that was probably tilted in Nyman's favor. They've seen him play a lot of starting left tackle behind David Bakhtiari, and Walker beat him out. You know, last year they drafted Jordan Morgan. Walker's job, they say he's a left tackle. Morgan, that is. Walker's job probably not safe. And this year they say Jordan Morgan can compete to be the left tackle again. It makes you feel like, yes, he is somebody that they maybe like but don't love. Do they want to replace him? Did they shop him this offseason? Could never fully get that completely nailed down if they did that or not. But it sounded like something that for the right, you know, price, draft choice, other player, whatever, they would have considered it. And that's just not something, you know, David Bakhtiari's name was never whispered as something of, oh, Green Bay's trying to, you know, move on from him or
correct.
Deal him.
And they weren't drafting a first-round tackle to go up against them in practice.
Right. And when you're a first-round pick, you know, the deck is stacked against you. I do believe that had Aaron Rodgers played really, really well in 2022 and the Packers won a bunch of games and whatever, that the Packers would have just moved on from Jordan Love without ever having seen him play. However, that's a quarterback situation and that's drastically different. So when you are a first-round pick, the scale, if you will, gets tilted in your favor. And I just wonder, where does Jordan Morgan fall? Does he have to do anything spectacular? Does he have to rip the job away from Rasheed Walker? Or is it like, hey, close enough, we're going to go with the kid? Or, you know, do the Packers also go, hey, close enough, but Rasheed Walker is going to get a big contract in free agency if he just plays the same level of football he did? So we want that third-round compensatory pick because he's going to get a lot of cash, from us, but from somebody else. Oh, Bill Huber made that point in the offseason.
That's great. Could
Green Bay decide to do that? I don't know. You know, I don't know what that's going to look like. We haven't seen one practice in pads. And also, to be just very frank, we haven't seen Jordan Morgan play one snap of offensive tackle because he was injured throughout all of training camp last year. Never saw him practice there once the season started because we don't see stuff when the season starts.
That is a great point on the whole compensatory pick thing for sure. Jacob Westendorf for Packers on SI, Packers Central over there with him and Bill Huber, does a great job with Athlon Sports as well. Follow him on Twitter at Jacob Westendorf. He was there at Packers training camp earlier today, the first practice of the day. And obviously, you know, some guys missing because of injuries and so forth. I was telling Charlie, I think Quay Walker is the guy that really needs to be on the field the most. Of everybody that wasn't necessarily out there.
Then, Sparky, Tom Pelissero, right before I jumped on here, said Walker passed his physical, so he should come off that list and be ready to practice tomorrow.
Perfect. Thank you, Jacob Westendorf. But the reason I said that Walker is probably the most important player on that list is because if they really think they can make something out of Isaiah Simmons and Halfley's defense to where he can really be a game changer and utilize that athleticism that everybody else has been trying to get something out of. Plus, you have Cooper. It looked like Halfley had unlocked Quay Cooper or Quay Walker prior to him getting hurt last year in those two or three games prior to that. This linebacking core could very well be the most athletic linebacking core in the league if those three guys are on the field, but you want them to build that chemistry and let Halfley see what he has a little bit more.
Yeah, color me skeptical on Isaiah Simmons as a linebacker first and foremost. Sure. But as far as the rest of the stuff you're talking about, athletic linebackers and everything like that, Quay Walker was playing, like you mentioned, his best football just before the injury that knocked him out for the last couple games. And this was like against Kyle Shanahan, Mike McDaniel, offenses that are designed for linebackers to just kind of be put into a blender. Walker looked like he was becoming a bona fide player that I think he would. And the Packers, that organization to a man, anybody who's matters, my opinion doesn't matter. What I think of Quay Walker does not matter, right? What you think of Quay Walker does not matter. Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, Jeff Halfley, his linebacker coach from last year, his linebacker coach from this year, Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs, they've all said something to the lines of really good player, want him around for a long time. McKinney said he could be the best linebacker in all of football.
Yeah, like,
and he said that unprompted. They didn't say, hey, what do you think of Quay Walker? They ended up talking about Walker organically through all that thing. So I don't know. They see something that maybe isn't showing up on your grading websites or to the naked eye and all that stuff. They love Quay Walker.
Yeah, but Jacob, well, hold on. Naked eye, right? Watching a game, not having to go to scout school, not having to be a coach in the NFL. Man, again, I watch Edgerrin Cooper. I'm like, damn, that cat's going to be amazing. I watch Quay Walker. You get maybe a couple of moments throughout the last 2 years where you can say that. Cooper, I felt like you got one a game through his rookie year.
Yeah, Cooper, I mean, Cooper, if he plays all 16, he's the defensive rookie of the year last year. Exactly. That is bona fide true. Quay's never been close to that. No question about that. But is he getting better? Did they know that he was going to be, you know, take some time and everything like that? Yeah, they did know that. I just don't know if it's ever going to be enough. You know what I mean? He's already been kind of in the minds of fans and pundits alike that he's not able to play anymore. Or he's never going to be the first round pick that they took. Is he ever going to be Fred Warner? No. How many linebackers in the league are like Fred Warner though? He's
right.
One of one, right? So I'm curious to see what it looks like. I'm curious to see what it looks like with him and Cooper on the field for a full season together, because him and Edgerrin really didn't play together all that much a season ago. You mentioned kind of the ability to mix and match with guys like Isaiah McDuffie, who will have a role with the defense this year, and then Isaiah Simmons if he's able to figure out some sort of niche role or what their plan with him is going to be. I'm curious what that's going to look like when it's go time as well.
I got one last one for you. Bo Melton officially now at corner wearing number 16. When they did this little experimentation at the mandatory mini camp or whatever, it opened my eyes. I'm like, I think they're telling this dude, figure this out or you're not going to be on the team. And I was told I was crazy by everybody, of course. Oh, they're just screwing around, Sparky. Okay, so now here we are. They're clearly not screwing around. This is for real. LaFleur going, I know what he is at wide receiver. And I'm like, of course you do. That's why he's at cornerback right now. So he is playing for his job. And the only reason they're even letting him play corner to see if he can prove this is twofold. One, he's good on special teams and they'd like to keep him. And two, his brother plays corner. He's athletic enough to play corner. It's just a matter of whether or not they can get him, you know, coached up enough to be there in week one at that position. Not as a starter, but, you know, fourth, fifth on the depth chart maybe.
Yeah, so just to say that you were right once upon a time, NFL teams don't screw around. Like, they didn't just throw him out there and say, you know what would be fun?
Oh, like, but LaFleur does that all the time. Andy Herman brought, who was it? Who was the offensive lineman he brought up at one of the OTAs and said, hey, man, like, he was out there, you know, starting at guard today. Like, you know, what is that all about? And Matt LaFleur was like, oh, was he? I didn't know that he was even out there. I had no idea. You know, whatever. It was just doing something.
It was Donovan Jennings.
Donovan Jennings. That's who it was. Right. And LaFleur just completely brushed Andy off like he was nuts. Like, nothing to make of it. I agree with you. Everything they do is for a reason, whether they want to cop to it or not.
Yep. And Melton playing corner is that. Like, you mean, there's 13 receivers on this roster. 12 if you take away Christian Watson. But Christian Watson, whenever he's ready, which whispers here or there sound like that could be sooner rather than later.
Correct.
Who knows? We'll see what that looks like when that time comes. But there's 13 guys on the roster. Watson's going to make it, okay? So that's one less spot that you have. Melton, I don't know. You know, I don't know. Where does he fall in that hierarchy? You figure as far as roster locks, Watson's going to be on the pup. But the other three guys from last year, so Wicks, Reed, and Dobbs, those three guys are probably going to make the team, barring some unforeseen trade or something like that. That's three. Golden and Savion Williams are going to make the team. That's five. Now you've got the rest of this crew. Cornelius Johnson had a really good spring. You've got Malik Heath, who could the Packers look to have a role player type of that? Do they want his blocking ability on the roster for something like that? And on the other side of the ball, cornerback, maybe the least deep position on the team. So finding a way to do something like that and wanting to keep him on special teams, I don't hate the idea. You know, it's kind of one of those things that if he ever has to play cornerback in a game, you're probably in a lot of trouble. But if that was probably true, whether Melton was playing receiver or cornerback anyway. So I think what it really signifies is they want him on this team for special teams, but you can't keep eight receivers in the process to do that. You can keep five or six corners, but you can't keep eight receivers. And he's not a guy who's either going to be able to stick on the practice squad. I'll have to check and see. I don't think he has practice squad eligibility anymore, but I would have to look to be sure on that. But it's not somebody you're just going to be able to keep around and not have him on the full-time roster. So I think they really like him. I think they want him around. Like you said, they know what he is as a receiver. That is a, how do I say this nicely? A role player at the very best, which no disrespect to Bo Melton by saying that. He had some nice moments for Green Bay, especially in 2023. Loves first season as a starter, but he's not going to be a star. And right. Green Bay has at least, like I said, at least six guys in front of him if you include Watson. So putting him on the defensive side of the ball, they're going to give it a shot. And, you know, if there were ever a year for something like that to happen, it would be this year just because of the depth or lack thereof on that side of the room.
Really good at what he does. Jacob Westendorf, Packers on SI, Packers Central, and, of course, with Athlon Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Jacob Westendorf. And if you've never really seen Westendorf up close and in person and what his style is and all that, go back. You can watch the interview right now on YouTube, live streaming it at The Fan Milwaukee. Use that hashtag at The Fan Milwaukee. Like, subscribe, tell your friends. The Fan is on YouTube now. Got shorts, videos, the whole thing. Mr. Westendorf, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Sparky. Appreciate you.